Finance Committee to order. Members, welcome back. Senator Johnson, especially you and Senator Moi, who are maybe your last meeting of the Tax Committee. Probably certainly is before the election. You might have another title, Senator Johnson, before
Thank you
we
very
come back.
Much, Mr. Chairman.
Members, the governor's called a special session for this afternoon. So we have a adjourned sine die in May, so this is simply informational. We will not have any motions, but I wanted to bring the committee together so that the Tax Committee members could see what the provisions in the bill are. There's a great deal of information in your packet, a bill summary, a spreadsheet, some fact sheets off of the Department of Revenue's website that are really helpful to people that have experienced problems related to the most recent flood activity and how they can navigate through the Department of Revenue and what things are available to them. Any questions, members, before we bring Senator Lynch up? Senator Lynch? Senator Lynch from Rochester is the author, Senate author of the bill. And Mr. Mossman is here. I think we'll have him come up also, our fiscal analyst. Senator Lynch, you want to give us a little overview of what you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Document before you is what will become Senate File 1 later this afternoon. There are three articles in the bill. And very briefly, Article 1 has to do with the most recent federal disaster declaration and surrounds the severe flooding in southern Minnesota. Article 2 in the bill concerns an additional federal disaster declaration that Minnesota received from surrounding tornadoes and storm activity at the end of June. It is referred to as Wadena in the bill, although encompasses more communities than Wadena. And Article 3 of the bill, Mr. Chair, discusses the funding mechanism for the overall bill for the previous two articles. Mr. Chair, I don't know if you'd like me to work off the spreadsheet and just point out some things on the spreadsheet, or if you want to go through the tax provisions in the bill are contained in Article 1, beginning in Section 18 through 22.
Senator Lynch, either you or Mr. Mossman can walk through the spreadsheet. Either one's fine.
Mr. Chair, on your spreadsheet, on looks like line 60, you'll see the Article 1 subtotals. You can see all the various subdivisions of the flood disaster relief component of the bill.
That's on line 60 through 64. Correct?
So it's a combination of general fund dollars and bond proceeds, some trunk highway funds, and state transportation funds. Again, those are all for the flooding portion of the bill. On that same page, line 88, Article 2, that contains the expenditures for the second disaster declaration, the Wadena, and other areas, I'll call it, expenditures. And the summary for Article 3 is on begins on line 123 and provides is illustrating the flexibility or the opportunity, I guess, that we have been given with the receipt of the increased FMAP money. Mr. Chair, perhaps you'd like to hear from Mr. Mossman to provide a little additional detail.
Mr. Mossman?
Mr. Chair and members, working from the summary that Senator Lynch gave, if you look then back on page 1 of the spreadsheet, just to orient you to the spreadsheet as a whole, the individual provisions then just exactly follow the articles of the bill, and you can actually see the bill references Those are the individual provisions on page one that lead up to the summary that Senator Lynch provided on the summary of Article 1 on lines 61 through 65. Similarly, with Article 2, the individual provisions there parallel the sections of the bill. And I can walk through, Mr. Chair, those individual provisions if you would like. The Article 3 of the bill, there's a lot of appropriation number changes here, both to the Health Care Access Fund and the General Fund. Essentially, what's happening here in Article 3, members may recall last session that there was much discussion of the possibility that Congress would further extend the increase in the federal portion of the federal payments for the medical assistance program. But Congress had not acted at the time that we ended the legislative session, and Congress has since acted to extend those FMAP rates from the period January 1 through June 30th. What happens here is that there's a conflict with state law that we need to assure the federal government that none of those monies will go directly or indirectly to our cash flow or budget reserves. And so this article is necessary to be compliant with that federal language. And as a result of that, that article, we also are able to assure ourselves that we're going to receive this $230 million to the general fund. And that's what's reflected in the changes in the appropriations to Health and Human Services, just reflecting that the state is going to spend less of its dollars and the federal government is going to spend more of its dollars to fund medical assistance for that six-month period. Yes.
So, Mr. Mossman, line 124 is where we recognize $230 million of general fund savings because of the new FMAP money starting January 1st, right?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And then on line 135, if you go down, line 135 then just essentially shows that when you take both the increased appropriations for Articles 1 and 2 from the general fund for the flood and tornado disaster relief in combination with the additional federal medical assistance money. Actually, I'm going to back up to line 129, that we still expect the general fund would be a little shy of $192 million better off than when we last left session.
Mr. Mossman, for I don't know if we're on television or not, but maybe for the benefit of the people who might be watching, why don't you start on line 116 and tell us how much money the bill spends, I guess, down through line 121.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, on line 116, the total appropriations for both Articles 1 and 2 from the general fund, so these are direct general fund cash appropriations for flood assistance and in the Wadena, Tornado, and other affected counties areas, the total is $38.416 million in fiscal 2011. In addition to that, the state will bond for $26.79 million of general obligation bonds that go into the bond proceeds fund to pay for capital improvements, flood mitigation, the Reinvest in Minnesota program, and other matching funds that are of a capital nature. There will also be $10,000 of general obligation bonds sold, with the proceeds going into the transportation fund to fund for the Department of Transportation to assist with local government bridge and road projects.
$10 million.
$10 million, pardon me. I did say 10,000. These numbers aren't thousands, so $10 million. And then $5 million of direct appropriations from the Trunk Highway Fund to assist in the repair of damage to state trunk highways. The $400,000 there that's in brackets is just to reflect that there will be some support that goes to pay for petroleum cleanup issues related to the disaster. And those the estimated cost is $400,000, and those costs are actually openly appropriated in law. So there's not actually a direct appropriation that's necessary in the bill, but there is a recognition of those monies in the bill.
Is that money out of the petrol fund?
That is out of the petrol fund.
So it's non-general fund money.
That's correct.
Mr. Mossman, on line 90, so in We're spending about $38.4 million out of the general fund on this bill in the current biennium. And then the debt service that we're carrying in the out biennium on line 90, $2.34 million?
That's correct,
will be the cost in the next biennium to service the debt.
That's correct.
Anything further to add?
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman, that, you know, going down, then we've already talked about lines 124 through 126 just summarizes Article 3 and the various FMAP provisions. There is a $6 million benefit to the Health Care Access Fund as well from those, the extension of those FMAP rates. And then lines 129 through 135 just carry those numbers down for all three articles of the bill to show the net impact of all three articles by fund and for all funds.
Members, any questions on the spreadsheet? Senator Lynch, anything further before we move on to the tax provisions in the bill on the spreadsheet or just generally?
Mr. Chair, I think while Mr. Mossman is here, it would be before we talk about the specific tax provisions in the bill, if I could direct your attention into Article 3. I think there's a couple of provisions there that would be of interest to your committee, and I'm thinking specifically of Sections 3 and Section 4. So that would be on 18.29, beginning on 18.29. And one of the things that we wanted to do in putting this bill together was to make sure that we had the money to pay for it, and also that this bill didn't do anything to jeopardize the fiscal integrity of our state any further. And so in Section 3, in working with leadership from both bodies along with the governor's office, we provided language in the event that there would be a negative fund balance in the next forecast, that this would provide that we would cancel from the cash flow account into the general fund the general fund amount of this bill. And what the net effect of that is that it will not cause this bill to create an unbalanced general fund balance for us, which could set up a situation where we might be entertaining conversations about further unallotment. And so I think that's a safeguard that's been put into this bill, and one that I can tell you was a real collaboration and partnership with the executive office and both bodies.
So, Mr. Mossman, MMB has authority to borrow money from the cash flow account, but this actually gives them legislative authority to actually permanently move money?
Mr. Chairman and members, the way the budget reserve and cash flow account are different with regard to a negative balance is, yes, that MMB uses the cash flow account in order to help make sure we have enough cash on a day-to-day basis to pay bills, and that is already factored into cash flow projections that you may have talked about. But with regard to a negative balance, the law only requires that the budget reserve be reduced to zero before on allotment or other changes might happen. The cash flow account is a choice just like any other appropriation made by the legislature. So this essentially would put the cash flow account to the front of the line in that circumstance so that, as Senator Lynch said, this bill would not contribute to a negative balance of the general fund.
And Mr. Mossman, the current budget reserve is how many dollars?
The current budget reserve is zero. We are aware that there has been a small amount of money, a little more than $8 million, that has been put into the budget reserve as a result of a transfer that's required in law from the assigned risk pool when the excess balances of the assigned risk pool get above a certain level, and that will be reflected in the November forecast. As we sit here today, state budget documents reflect a zero balance in the budget reserve.
Senator Scoia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mossman, as I'm reading the last page of the spreadsheet, aren't we adding $155 million to the budget now, though?
Mr. Mossman?
We're adding, bringing in $236, we're spending $80.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoia, that's correct. And actually, that's the all funds total you're looking at. If you look at just the general fund amount on line 129, the general fund would be improving by a little under $192 million. I think the thing to keep in mind is that this reflects some positive things that are going on in the state budget, and obviously the forecast will take into account everything that's happening in the economy since the February forecast, as well as other spending changes that may have occurred.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lynch. In this package, does this cover, is this just giving relief to, like, infrastructure costs, or is it private property as well?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, the bill focuses largely on public infrastructure and public facilities. There is something called individual assistance, which is available through FEMA. And you may have heard that while we received the FEMA declaration and we received FEMA assistance, we were denied individual assistance. That means that the individual homeowners, the individual residents affected by this disaster didn't get that individual assistance. So what is provided in the bill on that note is reflected in the housing finance division. And that's on the bill that's on line 4.22. And quite simply, that provides, in conjunction with the SBA, the potential for some low-interest loans for those individual homeowners.
Chair, one other question. The $4 million that's represented on lines 4.23.24, does that also make adjustment for insurance coverages also that would have or should have been covering these private properties, and that we're not letting the insurance companies off by a government check to a private owner, where they have to sustain their contractual obligation to the property owner? Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, absolutely. I can, just by way of example, the city of Zumbro Falls, they had 40 homes that were damaged, which while perhaps doesn't sound large in number, it's a very small community. 19 of those 40 homeowners had individual personal flood insurance. That will fall into place first.
Mr. Mossman, what's happening in Article 3, Section 5, the repealer?
Mr. Chair and members, Article 3, Section 5 is essentially just a repeal of the parallel language that is in Section 2 of this article, but the numbers have changed. In the last special session, as we were wrapping up, there was contingent language that was enacted that would have accommodated, just in terms of the appropriation changes to Human Services, if we had gotten additional FMAP. But the amount of additional FMAP has changed since then. So this repeals those sections of that session law and replaces it with the language of Article 2 or Article 3, Section 2.
Okay. Any other questions on the spreadsheet, members? The tax provisions in the bill. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you turn to page 13 of the bill, lines 13.3, section 18, And there are, we can talk through sections 18 through 22. I will just tell you, as this bill was put together, first, the 2007 flood relief bill was used as the template, if you will. So the provisions, particularly the tax provisions contained within this bill, are reflective of the work that was done in 2007. The other thing that assisted us greatly in putting this bill together was, you'll recall, after 2007, we created new state statute, Chapter 12A, which has to do with natural disaster state assistance. And after 2007, it was the feeling among many members that there were perhaps some things that we could do to streamline the process, to create a template, to give us some guidance as we are faced with situations like this. And so between the 07 bill and the Statute 12A, that's what you see contained here. Section 18 creates the tax-based replacement aid for cities, which had the net effect of having their tax capacity reduced because of the flooding. I will point out, I know that several of our city mayors are with us today. This will provide them, or has the potential to provide them with some revenue. The payments to the cities are made in July of 2012. So I think that's important to point out for their planning purposes, and that seems reflective of, again, of that 2007 bill. Section 19 of the bill provides a waiver of the penalty imposed on overdue second half 2010 property tax payments. We were careful to make sure that if property taxes weren't paid, that it was as a direct result of this disaster declaration. So that is contained within here. Section 20 provides provision for the agricultural lands and buildings that were homestead property for the 2010 assessment may remain classified as ag homesteads for 2011 and 2012 assessment years if the property owner, again, was incurred damage as a result of this disaster declaration. And Section 21 of the bill waives the application requirement in current law for the local option disaster abatement homestead disaster credit. Provides for notify the taxpayers by December 30th of 2010. Section 22 provides for the effective date upon enactment. And Mr. Chair, I think those are the summary of the tax provisions contained within the bill.
And Senator Lynch, what are the, I noticed in the Department of Revenue's summary here, there are three cities that are eligible for the city replacement aid. Do you know what the names of the three cities are? Senator Lynch, let me help you.
Yeah, thank
you. Zumbro Falls,
okay.
Hammond in Wabasha County, and Truman in Martin County.
Okay, thank you.
In the event.
And, Mr. Chair, that might be an opportunity for me to state then also that Senator Limmer asked about individual assistance or help to individual homeowners. I think one of the things that we can do today is to be very clear that SBA assistance, there are three loan outreach centers that are opening up in the affected communities. One will be in Truman, one in Owatonna, and one in Mazeppa. And it's very disheartening and is very difficult for these individual homeowners. I think we just want to stress that they need to go to these outreach centers, that there are expertise there that will help them walk through the process and work through the necessary paperwork. It is a very daunting task, and we want them to know that this is the mechanism that we're able to bring forward to provide them assistance.
Any other questions, members of Senator Lynch or Mr. Mossman? Senator Dibble.
Not a question. I was just going to, we're wrapping up. Or not?
Well, we may have some mayors, and we have some other members of the Senate here whose individual communities they represent, so we want to give them an opportunity to come up. But later or now, Senator Dibble?
Later.
Senator Ortman.
I have a question. My question, Senator Lynch, is the cities that are affected, the three that Senator Bach mentioned, will receive some replacement aid. The homeowners that have suffered loss will be given a penalty-free waiver for the second half property taxes, but the only aid available to them is a loan, right? So the city gets the aid. The homeowners don't get anything except the ability to borrow to pay for their property taxes and a waiver of any penalty. I just want to understand.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, we applied, in applying for the FEMA assistance, we applied for individual assistance. FEMA has made a determination that in this case, our residents are ineligible. And so the way that we were able to respond to that is, as you've indicated, by applying through the Small Business Association, which we have done and we've received word of, and that provides them a mechanism, and it is low-interest loans for those individual homeowners. This is a very difficult situation.
Senator Ortman, there's a flow sheet here from the Department of Revenue that might be helpful. It shows how the abatement process works for people whose property is at least 50% damaged for a homeowner, and then what a non-homesteaded property, what their options are relative to abatement. So,
right, but Mr. Chair, if I could, I'm trying to understand that the city can spend the replacement aid on infrastructure, it says right in here. But couldn't they also offset the property taxes of the homeowners that are affected or give them some direct aid?
Well, they can abate them.
Mr. Chair.
Well, Senator Ortman, there's language in current law you'll see in the spreadsheet that gives the local unit of government the authority to abate the taxes. So, I mean, the local government unit has authority in current law to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, on your spreadsheet, line 58, that abatement credit is reflected.
Thank you.
Senator Senja.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Lynch, or maybe anybody else, but I just want to maybe understand a little bit about the so-called replacement aid and kind of how that works. And I'm thinking of Mayor Vandewalker here in Zumbro Falls, and his town is nearly decimated. I don't know what his local government aid allocation is, but you know, they're going to go through and reassess that town, and there's not going to be much tax value left to it, to be kind of frankly honest. And so now how does that work? What will Zumbro Fall? I mean, I'm not asking for the number, but is there some degree of maintaining at least the aid that you were getting as we move on in the future and through this recovery, which we hope occurs?
Senator Sinclair, maybe we'll have, question. I see Eric Ouellette is here from the department. Maybe we'll have Mr. Ouellette come up and explain to us how the replacement aid is calculated and what the threshold is for cities to become eligible, because there is a threshold. That's why only three cities are eligible. Mr. Ouellette.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Eric Ouellette with the Department of Revenue Property Tax Research. The abatement, the credit, and the tax-based replacement aid are kind of meant to work in concert for affected cities. In the current year, damaged properties, if they meet the 50% damage threshold, will have their second half payment abated. And the local units of government will be reimbursed by the state for that. So the local units of government are held whole, are kept whole, and the affected property owners don't have to pay their second half payment or a portion of it, depending on that flow chart and the level of their damage. In the second year, which would be next year, because the next year's taxes are spread on a tax base that's already been established before the disaster, even though the homes are damaged, the tax base for tax purposes is whole. So the local unit government still has its whole old tax base to tax next year, and the credit will pay the affected homeowner's share of that tax. So the homeowner doesn't have to pay that, but the local unit government has their full tax base available to them next year. In the third year, for those communities that are severely damaged and qualify for the tax-based replacement aid, that is, they've lost 5% of their tax base due to the damage, they will get a one-time aid equal to the amount of lost tax base times their previous year's tax rate. So in that situation, the city will get aid equal to what that tax base could have paid if it hadn't have been destroyed and removed. And the way the LGA formula works, the following year, their tax base that's used for measuring their need in the LGA formula should reflect those lower values. That won't be a dollar for dollar as lucrative as the tax base replacement aid, but that's sort of the new normal going forward. Is the lower tax base would, all other things being equal, mean more LGA if they are an LGA receiving city. So those three components kind of work in step for each of the next 3 years.
Senator Senjan, that helped?
It's very helpful. It's a lot of information. I'm sitting here wondering if that's codified on a piece of paper somewhere for the mayor, his council, things like that. These are questions that are going to go on into the future. How is this going to work?
And Mr.
It would be
Chair,
helpful, I think, if we
Senator
could.
Senator Senjan, we have been sharing information with the League of Cities, and okay. Hopefully they can help, and with counties, and hopefully we can get all the information out that we need to. And certainly anything else that could be helpful, we're happy to provide.
Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, to Senator Senjam's comment, I'll just would like to express to members that throughout this process in all of the communities that have been affected, truly, the state agencies have really come forward and really have done a very nice job and very comprehensive job in trying to provide information to these communities and in frankly working with members of the legislature and the executive office in putting this bill together.
Senator Lynch, anything further, committee members, before we bring up Senator Perry and Senator Scogin? Thank you, Senator Lynch. Thank you for all your hard work on this. Senator Perry, Senator Scogin, you want to come tell us kind of what the experience of your communities have been since we adjourned back in May? Maybe we'll start with Senator Scogin. He had the summer tornado event around the community of Wadena. Senator Scogin, welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and thank you for letting me include this provision in this special session. We actually had been doing some groundwork on coming here in January and February with some requests, but when the floods occurred and the special session was called, I asked for permission to accelerate some of that, and permission was granted, and I appreciate that. Just a brief history, June 17th, a severe thunderstorm started down in the Albert Lea area, produced a tornado down there, and moved straight north up through the center of Minnesota and finally came to a conclusion near Mentor up in Senator Stump's district. When it got to Wadena, that's when it reached its climax, over a mile wide. We had two F4 tornadoes, one about 6 miles west of town and one in town. Took two residential areas in Wadena, damaged or destroyed over 200 homes. The one west of town sheared off 5 farmsteads, damaged or destroyed nearly 100 homes out there, 170-mile-an-hour winds in town. Besides the homes that were destroyed and the infrastructure, it took the top off our heating and cooling of our M-State technical campus. It destroyed our swimming pool. It destroyed our high school. It destroyed our community center, destroyed our hockey arena, destroyed our fairgrounds. And so in a community of about 4,300 people, it was quite devastating. We lost no lives in Wadena. We lost a woman in Elmora, just to the southwest of town. And you might remember there was a death in the Albert Lee area, and then there was one up in the Mentor area at a convenience store where a man was trying to protect some of the workers there. But we were very fortunate. FEMA estimated about $35 million in public damage that day from Albert Lee to Mentor. $32 million of that was in the Wadena area. And so we've just been in the process of cleaning up and now of trying to rebuild. And my provision in this particular special session is for some planning money. We have an opportunity not to build all of those pieces separately, but to combine them somehow in conjunction with the new high school, maybe in the shadow of the same footprint, try to put share some parking, share some infrastructure, heating, cooling, do some green energy, and try to put it back better and more functional than it was, in collaboration with local private citizens, local units of government, as well as the state and the feds. And then the other pieces that you will see in there, there's some, the school had made some applications for some help. We have students now in our high school students are in our tech school. We have some elementary students sharing office space with the school administration in the elementary school, and we sent our junior high kids to a school in Deer Creek that we had closed earlier. And so we have some unintended funding needs on moving kids around and some stuff that was not covered inside the buildings that were destroyed that the school owned as well. And so we need some immediate help of some of that as well, and I appreciate the opportunity to put that in this bill. My mayor is at this time, unless he's come into the room since I got up here, is testifying over in the House right now. So I do have others from the city here if you want to hear from them, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Scogin. Senator Perry?
Senator Bach and committee, thank you for the opportunity here today. You know, it's interesting to note that most of my Senate district was affected by the flooding. Part of it was affected by the tornadoes this spring when we look at the Ellendale area. And truly, I believe this bill is come forth as relief for the areas as far as the public infrastructure. But when we take a look at the magnitude of the rivers and the creeks that enter the largest city in my district, Owatonna, it brings to mind that parts of this bill are needed to take a look down the road, as I heard senators say today, on the flood mitigation plans and looking forward, because if there are ways to do that, to build those mini dams, to build those reservoirs, to build those holding ponds, not only will it help the citizens in that Owatonna area, but Medford, who was also affected to the tune of a couple of $1 million, and Faribault, who had their entire wastewater treatment plant under water and is now working hard to get that plant up in full operation, and hopefully in November that will happen. So I believe coming together and the way we've seen our folks on the ground, those that have boots on the ground, come together and help our citizens and move them forward, I think this bill has been put together very well. I'm happy with the way it looks, and hopefully we'll get that assistance out to our folks.
Senator Perry, thank you. Do we have any of the House members here? Senator Scogin, Senator Perry, thank you. City officials that might want to
thank you, Mr.
say something to the Senate Tax Committee?
I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Al Vandy Walker, Mayor of the City of Zumbro Falls. So I'm a little out of my element here.
You'll do just fine.
Pipe fitter by trade, mayor by heart. My town's been hit pretty bad. The future of the town is my concern now. We had no loss of life. My fire department did a good job. My fire department covers the following two towns below it, so we were stressed pretty hard. We cover Zumbro Falls, Hammond, and Jarrett, and all were decimated pretty good with the floods. The concern going forward is with our tax base and so forth with the funding with this, as well as we have a bond for our sewer and water project that's paid off through sewer and water rate, the city's not going to be able to make that bond payment if we lose our residences. So we have things to look forward in the future that are going to hit us hard, and where we're going to go from here. We have 17 houses that cannot be fixed up due to the amount of damage in them. They have to be taken out. And with the federal IA being denied, we're getting backed into a corner that those residents, the only option they're going to have is to take the buyout, which means that they have to become flat lots. They cannot be rebuilt on, cannot be redone. That's a scary thought for me as mayor of the town, and trying to understand how we're going to continue to function in the future with our setup, the bonds that we have that we're responsible for on our sewer and water system that's 3 years old. Still are running, our sewer system at this time is running on a temporary setup until we can get things like get it repaired and get the pumps replaced and so forth. But I do appreciate all this being done. All the state agencies that have helped me from the day the water breached our dike, and they've made me look pretty good down there. Been a lot of help, Homeland Security, wonderful, wonderful people. But I just appreciate the time to be heard and let you guys understand the situation we're in. Any questions for me or?
Any members? Mr. Mayor, thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
And appreciate your time very
our,
much.
Our best wishes to your community and recovery.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Thank you for coming forward and sharing your story. I just have advice. I've been through this with communities, neighborhoods in Minneapolis, and the work is unending. And, you know, you're probably putting in 20-plus hour days. My only advice is actually a personal piece of advice, which is get your rest where you can so that you can be the best for your community, you know, when you need to be. You run into that wall of diminishing returns pretty quickly, so distract yourself and get some rest where you can, because it's going to be many, many more months of this kind of intensity. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Our mayor of Wadena has joined us, so maybe, Mr. Mayor, why don't you come on up? Senator Scogin gave us a little overview of what the city of Wadena has been through, but
may I present some visuals, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor Walden.
Thank you. I have Don Niles, who's the council member with me in Wadena. We just got done showing these to the House committee. This is our school, what's left of it, right after the tornado. It's scheduled for demolition and should be done in about a month. The next photo that we would... This is our what's left of our community center, which was had a 85 by 200 hockey arena community center portion. There were two ladies in the sauna right there that listened to this building get ripped off the top of them.
Wow.
And lived to tell about it. I'd like to show you a human impact. This is Bob Randall. He lives about two blocks from me down Irving Avenue. His house, what's left of it, structurally unsound, is gone. And we've got volunteers in the background there volunteering to help him. He didn't know who they were, but they showed up. Over 3,000 volunteers in a few weeks came in Wadena. And there's what's left of our only swimming pool in town, an outdoor structure that was built in 1950. And that's what's left of it. We don't really plan on rebuilding it. Outside, anyway. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. I don't know what Senator Scogin had to say beforehand, but on behalf of the residents of the city of Wadena, we'd like to first of all say let's go out to the people of southern Minnesota. I sat by the mayor of Zumbro Falls this morning, and I looked into his eyes, and I saw a very familiar sight, red eyes, lack of sleep, and I've been there, done that. We can understand what 20-hour days are like, Senator, and you got to be careful. Take care of yourself. Try not to hit that wall. Too late, he says, pretty much like me. Wadena is a very, very unique situation right now, I'm sure Senator told you, but we have a clean slate, and we've got a high school that is rebuilding. They've got money to do it. They're planning. They want to break ground in March. So we've created a committee, and Don Niles can speak to it just very briefly, Wadena 2.0. It's like the next version software. We're going to update, and we're going to move forward. And the unique opportunity is in that we need planning money to be able to determine how it is that we can work in concert with the school district to create some public infrastructure replacement that will impact our children's children for years to come. The unique way of being able to share heating, cooling, geothermal, water retention, green technologies to be able to right size so that there's not so many gyms built in the high school. Maybe they can come over to the community center if it's connected right next door. To have a swimming pool that can be used for phys ed classes and competition meets. And Tri-County Hospital, Joel Beiswinger is here, the president of Tri-County Hospital. They're standing side by side with us, willing to start leasing facilities, a therapeutic pool to be able to work hand in hand with their clients and Medicare reimbursement to be able to help people in our area to get better, something that's unique. So, again, very unique opportunity. One community standing together with all public resources ready to move forward. We need money to plan on going there. Don?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the committee and the legislature as well.
Mr. Niles, we need your name and title for the record.
I'm sorry. Don Niles, Wadena City Council, and I'm also chair of the Wadena 2.0 Task Force. The task force is an ad hoc committee charged with looking at rebuilding public infrastructure in Wadena. It's comprised of the city government, county government, Wadena Deer Creek Schools, MinState, the local Tri-County Hospital, and the local chapter of our Ag Society. They're all stakeholders in this process. We're working from a clean slate, having lost our public swimming pool, our high school, our ice arena, our community center, our fairgrounds, and much of our MinState. We had $3.5 million there. We very much appreciate the funding that is in the bill for that portion for the planning of the Regional Wellness Center. The opportunities for collaboration for using some green technologies are there and will help us recover from the disaster that you've seen in the photos. So I thank you very much, and I also appreciate the work you're doing for the flood relief victims, especially the individual assistance there. We're now living 4 months after our disaster, and what we're seeing is individuals who are really hurting, and I think what's in the flood relief bill for individuals will go a long way towards preventing that in southern Minnesota. So thank you for your fine work in working this out together. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Niles. Mayor Walden, thank you. Anything further?
No, I just want to say any questions that I could
questions answer from the committee?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Would anybody else like to testify on the bill? Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, like I said earlier, I've been through this before. In 1997 in Minneapolis, we had some very, very severe flooding localized all around the city in whole neighborhoods, which almost amount to the size of small towns in Minneapolis, were completely wiped out. And so I want to thank the local officials for their public service. It's very, very difficult. It's emotionally draining, but physically draining as well. And getting your arms around all of the information, all the details, and then trying to communicate that in turn to individuals who comprise your community is extremely difficult. Not to mention, you know, just wading in up to your hips and in the general disaster itself, and trying to get that cleaned up. I want to thank Senator Lynch and everyone who worked so hard in putting together this bill. I've studied it over the weekend. I think it's a strong bill. Good portion of the resources come from the general fund, which means our whole state is participating together. That's what we do. When some communities are in trouble, we participate with our time, with our effort, with our resources to make sure that all of our communities stay whole. So thank you for your hard work, and thanks for bringing this together so quickly.
Senator Lynch, one final comment before we adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, I appreciate the comment you made about the one state coming together. And this bill, to put in perspective, this bill affects so many of our districts. And if I could, it's Senators Kevin Dahl, Senators Erickson, Ropes, Frederickson, Kubley, Lynch, Murphy, Perry, Rosen, Senjum, Sharon, Skoy, Scogan, Sparks, and Stumpf. We are doing a lot of good work today. And I think this is an example of something good that we can do. This is an example of how government can come together and provide much-needed help, relief, and, frankly, hope to these communities. So, members, thank you for your time and interest.
Thank you, Senator Lynch. Members, at 1 o'clock, Senate File 1 will be introduced, a bill relating to disaster assistance. Committee adjourned.